Good morning. Would you please stand? And would you please remain standing for a moment of silence for Warren Brumley, longtime advocate for Empire Community?
Thank you all.
This is the public comment period. Is there anyone that would like to speak to the board this morning that's not on the agenda? Okay, seeing no one. We have the consent calendar. Is there anyone that would like to pull anything on the consent calendar?
I move for approval.
Okay, I need a second.
Second.
Okay, move to second. Got them, Christine? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carried 5-0. We go down to B13. Approval to accept a presentation of the 207 Sarasota County Agriculture Report. Our presenter this morning is Gary Casseret. PowerPoint?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Good morning, Chairman Mayfield, members of the board, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Doering. I'm Gary Casseret, the Stanislaus County Agricultural Commissioner, Sealer of Weights and Measures. With me today is Cynthia Darmstandler and Richard Homer. Richard's our agricultural statistician. Today I'd like to present you with a Stanislaus County Agriculture Crop Report for 2007, and I want to mention at this time that the crop report is available on the county's website, county department website. As a general comment, while our ag values have increased from approximately $2.1 billion in 2006 to over $2.4 billion in 2007, and the business of agriculture is generally a good business to be in, the ag economy certainly has its ups and its downs. Growers are facing ever-increasing production costs, energy, fuel, fertilizer, for example, and those related to the regulatory world in which we live. Additionally, we are currently looking at an uncertain water year that may become much worse if the upcoming winter continues to be on the dry side. How did that get up there? With that said, I'd like to take this opportunity to dedicate this year's crop report to retired Agricultural Commissioner Dennis Gudgell. As my predecessor, Mr. Gudgell did a great deal in promoting and protecting the agriculture industry here in Stanislaus County, and as you can see, Mr. Gudgell is in the audience today. We tried to touch that photo at Dennis, but that's the best we could do. Don't let him hear the mic, by the way. With that, this year's crop report highlights our livestock industry, of which we have a proud heritage. And there's a display out in the lobby depicting our livestock industry. In the mid-1800s, the area of Stanislaus County had two large land grants for cattle ranches. Cattle played an important role in gold mining. With irrigation at the turn of the century, livestock operations continued to expand in this area. Modern-day Stanislaus County has a strong cattle industry, with Oakdale claiming the title of cowboy capital of the world. And in this slide, you can see that the West is alive in Oakdale. Picks our proud heritage. Interestingly enough, this past Saturday was National Day of the Cowboy. In spotlighting our livestock industry, this year's total value came in at $167 million, and you can see it's broken up where hogs and pigs are $2.5 million, sheep and lambs at $122 million, and cattle and calves at $164 million. At this time, I'd like to review our top 10 commodities, showing a comparison to 10 years ago, starting with our number one commodity, milk, which produced $745 million as compared this past year as compared to $374 million in 1997. Our number two commodity is almonds. As you can see, the value last year was $466 million, up from $249 million in 1997. Number three commodity, 2007 value at $222 million versus $118 million in 97. Our number four commodity, cattle and calves, which I previously mentioned at $164 million, came up from a value of $51 million back in 1997. It's quite a difference. Number five is walnuts, $119 million versus $59 million in 1997. Number six, silage, $78 million this past year versus $33 million in 97. And my understanding is next year it's going to be quite a bit higher. Number seven, commodity, fruit and nut nursery, a value of $75 million in 2007 versus $25 in 97. Eight, tomatoes, $60 million versus $37 million in 97. Number nine, turkeys, $55 million versus $32 million in 97. And still on the list, number 10 is peaches, at $53 million versus $40 million in 1997. So those are our top 10 commodities. Again, our total agricultural crop value for 2007 is $2.4 billion. In 2006, it was $2.1 billion. Which is an increase of over $265 million. And just to show you the comparison, as up there, as it's depicted up on the slide in 1997, is $1.3 billion. So we keep going up. With that, that concludes our crop report, and we'll leave you with a slide that is a photo of an early cowboy consultation. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the board, and we'll answer any questions that you might have, or at least try to.
Is there any questions to Gary this morning? Or you want to make a statement with DeMartini?
I just wanted to ask him if you know the export value of Stanislaus County. The export, do you keep track of that?
I don't have that number off the top of my head, but we can probably find it for you.
I know it has to be quite high because we export almonds and walnuts a really significant amount.
Yes, and we our phytosanitary certification program, which we write those certificates that allows those commodities to enter into those other countries, is a huge program in the department. Mm-hmm. But I can come up with that figure.
It might be an interesting statistic to put in the reports next year, just what our value of our exports are.
It's a good idea. We'll do that.
This country has a huge trade deficit, and the only thing that has a surplus that I can think of is agriculture. It would be nice to just mention that.
We'll certainly look into it.
I was wondering why you didn't read the very first part of it. It said there were so many snakes, rattlesnakes, in the county that they brought in hogs to eat all the snakes. Yeah, but I was hoping you would bring that up, but you didn't.
I actually looked at that several times, and I had the question myself as to how hogs can take care of snakes.
I never did ask the question. You can't kill a hog. No, they can eat those. They can eat all the snakes they want to eat.
Because that took care of the snake population.
I was hoping you'd mention that. Anyway, sorry about that. Thank you for the report.
Thank you.
Okay.
I did want to welcome Mr. Judgel back for the morning. Retirement seems to be, really be agreeing with you. I think you may be gathering a little more hair on top of that.
No, I think he looks a lot more relaxed than he did a year or so ago. Thank you, Gary.
I'm a little bit worried about my...
Oh, no, you look good. You got a lot of hair. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll get on to B14.
I think we have to approve the report.
Oh, we need to approve that?
Yeah.
Oh, you want to make that motion, DeMartini?
I would, Mr. Chairman. I've moved to approve the report.
Okay, how about somebody over here second it? Okay, Dick, you second? Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Carried 5-0. Thank you. But now, then we go down to B14. Approval to accept the second annual report on the strong agricultural economy. Goals and performance measures. Good morning.
Good morning.
Are you standing? Good morning, Kurt. Ed. Gary back.
Guess I didn't need to move.
Okay.
My name is Stan Risen, Assistant Executive Officer with the Chief Executive Office. And over the course of the next several board meetings, we'll be reporting out to you progress on expected outcomes related to your board priorities. Leading the way this morning is the Strong Agricultural Economy and Heritage Board Priority Team. And members of this team include Gary Casseri, Agricultural Commissioner, Ed Perry with the UC Cooperative Extension, and Kirk Ford, our Interim Director of Planning and Community Development. And we'd also like to acknowledge some key contributors to this team this past year. Those include recently retired Agricultural Commissioner Dennis Schedule, recently retired Planning Director Ron Freitas, Milton O'Hare, and Ann Jewett from the Ag Commissioner's Office, and Angela Freitas from Planning. I'd also like to acknowledge the work of Christy Neller, who has served as a team facilitator over the past several years, as well as Supervisor DeMartini, who serves as our priority team advisor. This has been a productive year for this priority team, as I think you'll see from their report. And so I'm going to leave most of the time to them and just turn the microphone over at this point to Ed Perry.
Thank you, Stan. Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Mr. Robinson, Mr. Darin. I'm Ed Perry, County Director, University of California Cooperative Extension. With me are Gary Casseri, Ag Commissioner, Sealer of Weights and Measures, and Kirk Ford, the Interim Director, Planning and Community Development. This morning, it's our pleasure to present to you the second annual report on the goals and performance measures of your priority, strong agriculture, economy, and heritage. We've already seen who the goal champions and support team members are. I would like to begin by quickly noting once again the primary reason for this priority is that agriculture is the county's number one industry, generating approximately $2.4 billion in farm gate receipts in 2007. The $2.4 billion in farm gate receipts has a multiplier of greater than 3 in the local economy. Makes it extra important in our economy, and for those reasons, the agriculture industry needs to be protected and enhanced if it is to continue to support our local economy. 3 major goals were identified 2 or 3 years ago to positively impact this priority. Goal 1 is to support and promote agricultural products, education, technology and innovation. Goal 2 is to protect agricultural resources. And goal 3 is to manage threats to agriculture. This morning I'll discuss the performance measures and outcomes for goal 1. Kirk Ford will discuss those measures for goal 2, and Gary Casseri will discuss goal 3. That significant progress was made in achieving all of the outcomes for the goals and measures of this priority. However, because our time is limited this morning, we will each discuss only a specific outcome and impact for one of the measures in each of the priority areas. We would be happy then to discuss any of the other measures either after our presentation or at a later time. But all of the goals, all of the measures were accomplished in some way in the past year. Cyril, let us begin then with goal one and discussing goal one in terms of measure one, which is to emphasize economic improvement in applied research and education programs. The outcomes for this measure then were: we identified current agricultural industry problems, we designed research and education activities to address those problems, and we collected information on industry adoption of newly introduced practices or best management practices and technologies. Moving on to
who's playing with the controls? Okay, go ahead, Ed. No, we still haven't got it. We still can't hear you.
All right. How's
there
it?
You, there you
now,
go.
Now you can hear me, Mr. Chairman.
Don't anybody touch anything down.
All right.
Okay, we'll try not to, please.
We'll try not to move.
Okay.
Moving on. Still with goal one, measure number two, we were to utilize electronic media to communicate information to customers. Our outcomes were that the Agricultural Commissioner's website was redesigned. We developed a database of Cooperative Extension electronic newsletter subscribers, and we developed and implemented a Cooperative Extension customer survey. Moving on to measure three of goal one, we were to make environmental quality improvement a major component of our research and education programs. The outcomes for this measure are: two, we designed applied research to address environmental quality improvement, IPM, or integrated pest management, and food safety issues. And we also then, as a result of that research, conducted educational programs that address environmental quality, IPM, and food safety. Now, here's where I'd like to take just a few minutes in this goal to discuss in more detail the outcomes of these two measures in relation to a cooperative extension project in the area of livestock and natural resources. And this then works well because it's in keeping with Ag Commissioner Casseri's highlighting the livestock industry in his crop report this morning. So, specific outcomes for this particular goal and measure is a cooperative extension applied research project. It is conducted in the area of livestock and natural resources by our livestock natural resources advisor, Teresa Bichetti. And the title of this project is Controlling Medusa Head Grass with Intensive Grazing. So for those of you who are unfamiliar with this problem in our rangelands and affecting our livestock industry, Medusa Head Grass is a non-native invasive grass species, been in California for a number of years, a native of Eurasia. It has spread tremendously through northern and central California, over 1 million acres now of rangeland affected or infested with this grass. The main problem is that it's unpalatable to livestock for most of the year because of a high silica content. The seed heads, which you see there on the screen, have high silica, which then irritates the livestock's, the cattle's, cow's mouths. So it's, for most of the year, not a feed that livestock will use. It is spread throughout California rangelands, including eastern Santa Fe County rangelands, where some of our ranchers have 30 to 40% of their rangelands infested with Medusa head grass and making it non-productive. The grass displaces annual desirable grass species, reduces carrying capacity by 75%, and this is significant when you consider that on our east side ranges, it takes about 12 acres to support one cow on an average year. It varies a little bit from year to year, but that's about an average, 12 acres per one animal unit. So this is a serious concern for our livestock industry. And of course, then it also contributes to fire danger because it builds a very thick thatch, which then dries out and can burn very quickly and easily. And because of the high silica content, makes it an additional environmental hazard when it burns. So the project that was worked on and is being worked on, actually being conducted in Santa Fe County and in collaboration with two or three other advisors in other counties of the state, involves grazing, intensive grazing to control the grass. On the screen you see a pasture that is infested with Medusa head. That's the green that you see. And the dry grass is a native species which have already dried out. Some of the things that have been used to control Medusa head is burning, and burning is very, very effective. In fact, with the help of Gary Casseri, one rancher had a waiver to burn some of the infested acres on the east side of the county this year, burned a number of acres, but you can see that this is going to be a very limited way of controlling Medusa head grass because of the environmental concerns of burning. So in the future, I don't see this as a way that's going to increase. Herbicides can be used, but herbicides, of course, are very, very expensive for ranchers, and they're non-selective, so they would kill all of the grasses as well as Medusa head. Mowing can be used, but again, on our eastern ranges, they're very rocky, and mowing is not a practical way of controlling it for much of our range. So intensive grazing is what's being experimented with, and there are several trials in this county to test this method. It turns out that Medusa head grass is palatable to livestock for a very brief period of time, just before the seed heads are produced. So if we can compel the livestock to graze in those areas, they will graze the grass by using feed supplement tubs to draw them to the infested areas. And many of the ranchers use these tubs. They're protein supplements. They might be salt blocks, some way to compel the livestock to graze in the Medusa head while it is still palatable. You can see there that the area around the tub has been grazed down, and there really isn't any Medusa head in the immediate vicinity. And here you see a number of cattle clustered around one of the livestock tubs where they're grazing on the still immature Medusa head. The big concern is to move these supplement tubs for best effect. It has to be moved. They have to be moved around during this brief period when the Medusa head grass is palatable. But if the rancher is willing to do that, there can be 95% control possible with this method. So here's a method used in the natural resource that's available to the rancher, which is his livestock right on site. Just a matter of trying to get the livestock to get into those areas where the Medusa head grass exists, and it's turning out to be an effective way of reducing this grass where there are some large infestations. So with that, I'm going to then move on to finish goal one by reporting on measure four, which is to support local informal agricultural education opportunities. And our outcomes in this measure is that we partnered with California State University Stanislaus and Modesto Junior College to provide internships. We utilized a survey tool for measuring the results of our cooperative extension programs, and we developed baseline data for cooperative extension educational programs. With that, I'm going to turn this over to Kirk Ford, who's going to discuss goal two measures. Kirk?
Right. Hello? Am I on? Okay. We only had one measure with goal two, which was protecting agricultural resources. The measure was essentially to update the agricultural element. And I would be remiss if I didn't say that Ron Freitas and Angela Freitas did most of the yeoman's work on this, along with the Agricultural Advisory Board, over the last year or so. We did bring this forward to the board last December for adoption. It included the development of AgLands mitigation program. It included a revised Williamson Act uniform rules program. It involved developing guidelines for various agricultural buffers as they relate to other development. Also included the revised General Agricultural Zoning District A2 zone within the zoning ordinance. Essentially, we did bring this before the board for adoption in December. It was adopted, and over the last 6 months, we've been implementing these policies and trying to see how they work, and I suspect that over the next few years, we'll be looking at the effectiveness of these different policies and see if we need to make any additional modifications. So with that, that's my part. Go on to Gary.
Okay, I'll cover the last goal, which is manage threats to agriculture. And as you can, we'll catch up here. Okay, measure one under goal three in managing threats to agriculture is to improve the use of technology in agricultural inspection and monitoring programs. And the outcomes were to develop and implement GPS and GIS integration and to implement electronic pesticide use field inspection program. With regards to measure two, measure two was to implement and exercise the all agricultural hazards emergency response plan. And under outcomes, were to exercise the plan through a workshop and address issues and problems that were encountered. We had our first workshop we had just recently, a couple months ago actually, where we looked at coordinating GPS and GIS systems and data between the Ag Commissioner, OES, and industry, and identified some things that we needed to work on. Of course, future workshops, we're going to focus on actual practicing of the response plan with the various sections of industry. With regards to specific outcomes or focused outcomes on Goal 3, Measure 2, the all hazards emergency response plan, one of the first things that we worked on was to provide the response plan template statewide. And we first started by making the template available to all the county agricultural commissioners throughout the state. And that was done, perhaps that was some time ago. The other part was to work with the offices of emergency services and provide the template to them, and of course work with state and local health officers. And I probably should mention at this time that we've worked very closely with and my predecessor too, Mr. Gudgel, with local OES and the local health officer, and I need to mention both Gary Henshaw and Dr. Walker played a part. We've also exposed the response plan template at the national level with the assistance of an individual by the name of Carla Thomas from UC Davis. We have provided this template and have been in contact with via conference calls with other state departments of agriculture nationwide. And those folks are interested in the template. They're interested in using the template. And as a matter of fact, Ms. Thomas from UC Davis has put together a secure website. It's called Food Shield, where participants can access the template and work with it and work together and hopefully adopt their own plans by using the template. We're also working with to obtain state and local endorsements of the plan to ensure a unified approach to managing threats to agriculture. And just 2 weeks ago, we received the endorsement of the California Department of Food and Agriculture, which we've been waiting for some time. They finally signed off endorsing the response template, which is very important. And we also have on board supporting the template this Office of Emergency Services at the state level. So the all hazards food and ag response plan is moving forward, and we're looking to continue to work with other counties and other states to implement the plan statewide and nationwide. With regards to measure three, it was to establish staff training programs to improve understanding of threats to ag. The outcomes, we improved staff knowledge regarding CEQA functional equivalency. And the second outcome was to improve investigation processes and procedures. And the last outcome was to improve investigation processes and procedures. Sorry about that. Okay, that concludes the third measure. As far as lessons learned through this whole process, the first lesson learned was that full assessment and acceptance of new agricultural technologies by the agricultural industry will take more time than anticipated. Second lesson that we learned was management and staff changes and training and budget constraints have affected projects and plan implementation, such as our website development, the internship program, and the GIS GPS mapping. I mean, we are moving forward, but not always as fast as we'd like to because of those kinds of changes in staffing and budgeting. And then, of course, the last lesson learned is if local government is to effectively protect agricultural resources, there must be an awareness of the continuous changes in issues and trends affecting agriculture. And with that, Mr. Chairman, board members, that concludes our presentation on the strong agricultural economy and heritage. Questions?
Thank you for the report this morning, Min. And is there any questions from the board? Comments, Jim?
Yeah, I thought it was a very good report. A lot of effort and work has went into these goals and performances. Also acknowledge, you know, the work that the University Extension Service has done to help agriculture be more efficient and productive. A lot of times they don't get the credit they deserve, but they provide a lot of service for our number one industry with probably not much more than 0.1% of the budget from the county, not much more than that. And I'd like to remind everybody the entire agricultural budget with the UC Extension and the Commissioner is only one half of 1% of the entire budget. And they really do a lot with that money.
I might say that ag might be doing better than the sound system this morning. I'm new to this, so.
Huh? I'd also like to express my appreciation to this priority group. They understand the importance of the board priorities and of moving the needle as we move forward in the several program areas that the board has identified as particularly important. You've done an excellent job this past year. The development of goals and performance measures is all about continuous improvement. We define interim steps and interim accomplishments, but the goal is to always be moving forward, never be standing idle and never be slipping behind, and you've done an excellent job. I want to thank you for your hard work over this last year. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, I think I need to get the approval of the board before somebody tells me that I missed it. Okay. I need a motion.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'd move to approve the annual report.
Okay, now I need a second.
Second here.
Okay. Move the second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Carried 5-0. Thanks again, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Okay, now we go down to correspondence already?
Yes. This board has received a letter from the State Department of Justice regarding the potential shifting of the cost for the use of the regional crime labs to the counties.
I refer that to the sheriff and the district attorney.
This board has received the final report 2007-08 from the Stanislaus County Civil Grand Jury.
Acknowledge receipt of report.
This board has received the independent auditor's report for fiscal year 2007 from the El Soya Water District.
I refer this to the auditor controller.
This board has received a notice of proposed amendments to Title 15 regarding minimum standards for local detention facilities, the California Code of Regulations, and Title 24 regarding minimum standards for design and construction of local detention facilities from the State Correction Standards Authority.
Refer this to the Sheriff, the Health Services Agency, and the Chief Executive Office Capital Projects.
This board has received a claim as noted on the agenda.
Refer this to the Chief Executive Office and the Risk Management Division. We've got to hurry before we lose all our audience. Okay. And with that, I go down to is there any board supervisor report?
I would like to make a comment, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, Jim.
Opposition to the proposed Proposition 2, which is the treatment of farm animals statute. We have received a letter from the California Farm Bureau, there's the Stanislaus County Farm Bureau opposing this. I think this initiative is it has a potential to be very detrimental to our agricultural industry, and it will have the effect of driving the egg production out of California. As you see in the crop report, poultry is number three industry in Stanislaus County, although egg production is just part of that. But this particular initiative is not founded in any good sense, and it would just drive our production to other states. It would accomplish nothing but just driving the producers in California out of business. I would hope that this board might consider its opposition to this Proposition 2 as something not being very business friendly or making any sense at all. I know Merced County has opposed this proposition along with California Farm Bureau, and we should too.
Is there any other reports from the board? Okay, any legislative, fiscal, and measure report?
Yeah, first, yes, I do, if I may.
Yes, may.
First, thank you. I would like to address Proposition 2 and just a little more detail that would establish minimum sizing for poultry pens and square footage in poultry pens, among some other things. And this is an initiative that is one of those very unusual circumstances that a statewide proposition does fall within, in my perspective, within the jurisdiction of this board relative to taking a position on it. So you will see it in an upcoming board meeting sometime in December for your discussion. Second, I would like you to know that Senator Parada, we understand, has called the Senate back into session to vote on the state budget today. We don't believe that that is for the purpose of passing the budget. However, I think that he intends to make a statement to his Senate colleagues. So we expect a vote today in the Senate. We don't expect passage of the state budget. Over the last week, we did issue letters pursuant to the board's authority to oppose the taking of the Prop 42 gas tax money in the amount of about a little over $5 million. Property taxes taking pursuant to authority granted to the state pursuant to Proposition 1A of $4.2 million, and the proposed taking of Prop 10 funding, which is the tobacco funding, which supports a $6.5 million annual program that provides health care to young children in our community. I'd also like to, at this time, and also somewhat unusual, is to express my appreciation to our local reporter, who covers local government, Tim Moran, for an excellent article this morning addressing some of the challenges and obstacles that Stanislaus County is facing as we approach our final budget. I thought that was an excellent job. Thank you very much. That's all I have.
Okay. We have a closed session this morning.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, we have a closed session to with legal counsel to discuss anticipated litigation. This involves one case and being held pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9, Subdivision C, and we do not expect any report out.
We're adjourned.